Welcome to the Hope City Church Podcast. We're so glad you're here. Wherever you're listening from, get ready for a powerful message that will inspire your faith, challenge you to grow, and remind you that there's always hope in Jesus. Let's lean in and hear what God has for us today.
But I think God has some great things in store for us this morning as we are continuing in our series, Echoes of the End. And I want to remind you where we are in the framework of Jesus's life here and what he's doing, because we're in the last week of his life and we read how he came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, and the people of Jerusalem were excited. They were welcoming him. He was coming in for Passover week, and they are like shouting out, like recognizing who he is, welcoming him into town. And then he goes, and the very next day, he goes into the temple, and he like makes a big commotion. He overturns tables. He rebukes people for like treating the Father's house with irreverence, with being criminal, and like extorting money from people. He goes and does that, and then he goes out and he walks out to Bethany. He spends a day in Bethany. Then he walks back into Jerusalem, comes back into the temple, and he's having conversations with people in the temple. He's having conversation with like followers of him. He's having conversations with religious leaders. He's teaching. He's correcting behavior. And all of that happened, all of that conversation that happened that day in the temple, we saw in our Unwavering and in the Mask of Religion series. All of that happened in like one short morning, right? And then he leaves the temple that afternoon and he goes outside the city to the Mount of Olives. And it's overlooking the city of Jerusalem that he pulls his disciples in close, his closest friends, and he's having this conversation with them. Like, listen, I want to warn you about what's coming. Because these people, the disciples, they knew. They recognized who Jesus was. They recognized that he was the Messiah that the Old Testament prophets had talked about and had prophesied about. And they knew that what the Old Testament prophets had said is that he was going to set up a new kingdom on earth. He was going to set up a heavenly kingdom on earth. And so in their mind, they're saying, you're here right now. That's what is going to happen. Okay, they couldn't even fathom the fact that, spoiler alert, as we are actually going to be looking at this next event in the next few months, but they couldn't even fathom the fact that Jesus was going to be murdered, buried, and then raised up from the dead. Okay, that was like furthest thing from their mind. In their mind, like, you're about to set up your heavenly kingdom. This is really exciting. And so they're saying, like, asking him, when's this going to happen? Like, what's it going to be like? Is this coming, like, today? Is it today? Is it tomorrow? And Jesus, it's to these kind of questions that Jesus is telling them, like, guys, hate to tell you this, but I don't even know. I don't even know. Because only my Father knows when that will happen. I can tell you what it might look like, what the times will look like, and what the season will look like, but I don't know when that'll happen. I won't know until the Father's like, okay, now, go get your kids, okay? And so he's letting them know that here's what you can be looking out for. Here's some things that will happen. And I want to warn you, there's a cost that comes with following me. That's what he said. Like, there's a cost that comes with following me. Do you know what the cost is of following Jesus? Everything. Everything. Our opinions, our preferences, our dignity. It comes at a cost of everything. But Jesus was also saying, there's a hope in this too. There's a hope. Following Jesus comes at a price, but it also comes with hope that this world that we are living in right now is not all there is. Woo! Listen, if this is all I had to look forward to, why? Right? Why? Why do it? This is not all there is. This world is temporary. It's going to end. And there is an eternity beyond the temporary. Okay? That's the hope. So the portion of scripture that we're going to look in at today is Jesus really saying to his followers, and if we have surrendered our life to Jesus and are walking according to his word, we're his followers, right? This is him saying that tough times are coming. Tough times will happen. There's going to be seasons that are tougher than others. But he encourages us to stick it out. Stick it out. Because there's a prize at the end, okay? So I'm going to read to you the portion of scripture that that we're focusing in on today and then kind of hone in on one specific part. So here's what Jesus is saying. After he tells them, like, nobody's going to know the time or the hour, only my Father, but here's what you can look for. Don't be deceived. And then he says this, then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. Isn't that exciting? Doesn't that make you just want to be like, yeah, all for Jesus, right? And many will turn away from me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. Sin will be rampant everywhere, and the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And the good news of the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it. And then the end will come. Just keep that passage up there for a minute. I want us to recognize that this list of things that Jesus said, you'll be arrested, persecuted, killed, you'll be hated because you're my followers. Many of you are going to turn away from me, and you'll hate each other. False prophets will appear. Sin will be rampant everywhere. Love of many will grow cold. This all started happening right after Jesus ascended back into heaven. This started happening, okay? I want you to realize, like, I just gave you the end of the book. The end of Matthew ends, okay, with Jesus ascending back into heaven. And now we're in this portion, like, place of, like, okay, when is he coming back? That's where we are. When's he coming back, right? Okay? The stuff that he told them was going to happen started almost immediately. He told his disciples, like, listen, now I want you to go and do exactly what I've been doing. I'm leaving. I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. I want you to go and do exactly what I've been doing, but wait until you receive the Holy Spirit. Okay? So the disciples go back to Jerusalem. They lock themselves up in this room, and they're waiting. And 10 days later, Holy Spirit falls, and they are empowered. They are filled with power, and they go out immediately and start proclaiming the gospel of Jesus, what he's done. And immediately, people start mocking them. What in the world is wrong with you? You are so weird. What have you been drinking? Why are you so happy? Okay, immediately, this stuff starts happening. And as people start hearing the gospel of Jesus, people start getting filled with hatred and anger and start killing the followers of Jesus. And the killing of the followers, I'm just giving you a synopsis of the book of Acts right now, okay? And the followers of Jesus, as they flee from the ones that are trying to kill them, take the gospel with them, and it starts being spread throughout all the world. Do you see how Jesus is warning? His words were played out in a matter of months right before them. Okay? It's still happening today. This is happening today. And also, the message of Jesus, the good news of the salvation that's available in Jesus, is being spread throughout the world at a more rapid pace than ever has before. So that's how we know. The end is close. All of these things are happening. The end is close. And also, there's not a lot that you and I can do to avoid these things, right? We can do one thing, and that is to make sure that we are always ready, right? This morning, as I was getting ready for church, I was in my bedroom like, huh, what do I want to wear today? And, you know, it's been cold these past couple of days, which is so weird because it was like we had, 7 days of over 100 degrees. And then all of a sudden it drops to the 60s. And I'm like, well, it's always cold in the church. And also I have to go and run the fireworks booth after church so Pastor Chat can come. And so I'm going to put on a sweatshirt. And I saw this sweatshirt. This is the very first sweatshirt that Hope City ever put out in 2020, maybe 2021. Okay. And it says, live ready. And it's exactly what we're talking about today, about living ready, always being ready for the return of our Savior, right? Amen. We can make sure that we are always ready. I have one point to today's message with some subpoints underneath it, okay? I have one point today's message, and it's in the form of a question. And it goes to this portion of Scripture. Put that Scripture back up there for just a minute. The love of many will grow cold. This is the only part that really we have any control over. Okay? The love of many will grow cold. Here's my question. What is the temperature of your heart? What is the temperature of your heart? Because Jesus said, the love of many will grow cold. What he's talking about in that is he's talking about like the passion, the zeal, the excitement that you have for your relationship with Jesus, for your drive to spread the gospel, to make sure that everyone around you knows who Jesus is, that love will grow cold for many, Jesus said. There is nothing that you and I can do about anybody else's behavior. Do you hear that? We cannot control anybody else's behavior. I can't control the deception or the hatred that other people choose to operate with. It's out of my control. But what I do have control over, what you do have control over, is the temperature of our hearts. The temperature of our hearts and what we're operating in. Back when I was a teenager, I was given a Bible for my 16th birthday. I remember asking for a Bible. I don't think I'd ever actually had like my own Bible, or maybe I did actually have a Bible before that, but it was falling apart. So I asked for my birthday for a new Bible. And I remember I have it. I still have it. I was looking all over trying to find it this week. It's in storage somewhere in my garage because some of you know we're only living with half of our stuff right now. Okay? And I couldn't find this Bible. I wanted to bring it to show you. But at some point between the time I was 16 until I was 19 and left for college, our pastor spoke a message. And the reason I know it was in that time frame is because I wrote down these points in my Bible. The title of the message was 10 steps to a backslidden heart. And I have it written in my Bible, like in the front cover of this Bible. 10 steps to a backslidden heart. And I want to, let me explain to you, if you have not grown up in church, the term backslide or backslidden is kind of an old school term that was talking about someone who had said yes to Jesus and was in relationship with Jesus and slowly would take steps that moved away from him. Like, just kind of slowly, like, just walk in the other direction, right? It's the same idea of the temperature of our hearts getting cold. Because if Jesus is the life, the farther we get away from the life, the more cold we become, yeah. Right? And so I remember as a teenager when my pastor said, you know, today's message is about 10 steps to a backslidden heart. I wasn't walking away from Jesus, but I remember sensing Holy Spirit, like, pay attention to this. This is a really good gauge to make sure that you're always on, like, we're in a good place. Pay attention. And it's probably a good thing that I didn't find my Bible, because I wanted to, like, go through all of those steps. And Holy Spirit was like, I don't want you to preach a message that's already been preached. I just want you to say the things that I want you to say. Right? And but he reminded me of that message because he wanted me to remind you how I felt when our pastor said, here's the 10 steps. It was one of those, like, pay attention. This is a gauge to make sure that we're always at a good spot. You're at a good spot with me, okay? So today, I want us to kind of look at maybe some areas or some ways to know if our heart is in a cooling process, okay? Because it's important that our hearts stay warm, stay hot, because warmth and heat makes us moldable and pliable, okay? Think about, like, metal. When metal is heated and it's hot, it can be formed into anything that the Creator wants it to be formed into. But as the heat is removed, the further it gets away from the heat, it becomes cooler, it becomes rigid, it becomes cold, it becomes stubborn. It no longer is able to be moved or formed, okay? So here's some signs of what it might look like if our heart is in a cooling position, okay? Some signs of a cooling heart. First of all, personal time with Jesus decreases or stops altogether. Let me ask you something. What's your personal devotion routine? What does it look like in your life to spend personal time with Jesus every day? Only you can answer that question. It should be happening every day. Personal time with Jesus. It takes discipline for that to happen. So let me ask you, do you have a time set aside every day? If you don't, now's the time. Put it in your calendar. You put everything else in your calendar. Set aside some time every day with Jesus. Let me tell you what it looks like for me. What it looked like for me. Still does look this way, but how it started. Okay? I was raised in church. I accepted Jesus. I surrendered my life to Jesus when I was 8 years old. But I never developed the discipline of daily time in his word until I was about 25. Okay? And as I went through Bible college, and it's not like I didn't spend time in his word. I read the Bible. I went to church and stuff, but I was not disciplined in my daily time with Jesus, okay? And here's how, why it's important to set this time aside, because once you miss one day, it's really easy to miss 3 days. And once you miss 3 days, it's really easy to miss 2 weeks. And once you miss 2 weeks, it's really easy to miss 6 months. And then once you've missed 6 months, you get to the other side of a year, and you're like, I have not spent time with Jesus for over a year, right? And so Holy Spirit was kind of talking to me about this, like, Paula, you've never been really disciplined in time with me. I was trying. I was really trying. I was married. We had 2 young kids. And I was like taking my Bible to bed with me at night and opening it up and reading. Okay, and I was working full time. I was teaching. So I mean, I want you to think about what my day looked like. I was up, getting ready, taking care of my kids, sending them off to the sitter, going to work, coming home, making dinner, getting everyone in bed. We were in ministry. Oh, I thought I dropped something. I guess I did it. We were in ministry. And so I'm taking my Bible, and I'm sitting in my bed trying to read my Bible, and I'm like, right? I'm tired. And so Holy Spirit was just like, I think you need to get up earlier. I think you need to get up earlier in the day and spend time with me. You're better in the mornings. I am. I'm way better in the morning. My brain starts shutting off around 8, okay? And so I decided I needed to set my alarm for 4 a.m. This is not, listen, I'm not asking you to make your life look like mine, okay? So don't ever, oh my word, if I'm going to have a disciplined personal time with Jesus, I have to get up at 4 a.m. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying this is what it had to look like for me, okay? And whatever Jesus says to you, you need to be disciplined and do what he says, okay? All right, so I set my alarm for 4 a.m. Alarm. There were no phones, cell phones, okay? So I had an alarm clock next to my bed. Had red numbers on it, and I could feel it. So when it would go off, there was this long bar that if you hit it, it's called snooze, and it would turn off for 9 minutes, right? And then there was also a little button on top of that snooze bar so that if you push both simultaneously, it would turn off the whole alarm, right? And so my alarm goes off, and I hit snooze. And 4:09 comes, and I'm like, I'm just gonna turn it off because I'm gonna get up. And an hour later, I'm like, oh my word, I missed it. And so, a couple of weeks went by like that. That I would get up, you know, I might have a couple of good days, and then I would sleep through my time. And Holy Spirit challenged me, like, you're not being disciplined enough. And so, I decided, like, I've actually got to, like, get up to turn off my alarm. So I unplugged it. Like, this takes discipline. Because if you unplug an alarm clock and you plug it back in, you have to reprogram the whole thing. That takes a bit. All of, like, 5 minutes, okay? So I unplugged it. I took it across the room, and I plugged it in on my dresser. So that at 4 o'clock in the morning, when my alarm went off, I actually had to get up, get out of bed, walk across the room, and turn it off. Well, by that time, I'm already out of my bed, yep. Right? So I might as well just head on into the bathroom, get my face washed, and get busy. That was the first step of having a disciplined devotional life for me. Like, what does it look like? What do I need to do to make sure that I'm up and I'm doing this? So what does that look like for you? What do you need it to be? Okay? If you have never started a disciplined Bible reading time, may I suggest download the Bible app, the YouVersion Bible app. There are countless different devotional studies that take you into God's Word. There are Bible reading plans that you can download that takes you through the Bible, even in a year, if you want to read the Bible in a year. But do it. Do something. Get someone to hold you accountable. Do something. Because the more we allow our personal time with Jesus to suffer, to stop, the colder our hearts become. And I love spending time in God's Word. The next thing is this. Attending church becomes sporadic or non-existent. Attending church becomes sporadic or non-existent. I want you to hear what I'm saying. We don't attend church. Okay. We don't attend church. I can't speak for you. Jason and I do not attend church to be religious. We gather together to be obedient. What? What do you mean we gather to be obedient? Well, the writer of Hebrews said this in chapter 10, verse 25. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day dawning. What is he talking about? The writer, what's the writer talking about? As we anticipate that day dawning, he's talking about the return of Jesus. We should gather together all the more frequently. We gather together to encourage each other. Our faith as a whole lifts each other up, right? Well, you don't have to attend church to believe in God. That is a true statement. But you do have to attend church and be involved in a community in order to have people around you to support you, to encourage you, to spur you on when you're feeling down. Right? If you're not part of an active community, then when you're having a bad day or a bad week or a bad month, who's next to you to be like, dude, you cannot stop. You got to keep going. You got to take one step forward. Let's go. Come on. Right? No one's there to do that. We need people of God around us in order to grow and to learn and to support us. In Proverbs 27, it says, it takes a grinding wheel to sharpen a blade. And so one person sharpens the character of another. I have members of my family like, oh, I don't need church. I connect to God in nature. Well, you know what? Those trout are not sharpening my character. That's right. Listen, I love nature. I love being outside. But when I'm outside working in my garden, those tomatoes are not sharpening my character. Right? We need each other. We need a weekly gathering. We need life groups. We need each other. If our attendance at sporting events is higher than our attendance in church, our priorities are unbalanced. Amen. And that's all I have to say about that. Okay? The next thing. The next sign of your heart cooling might be this. Language becomes more unfiltered. The way that we speak to each other or the way that we speak about someone else is a huge indication of the condition of our heart, the temperature of our heart. In Psalms 19, it says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. How often are the words of my mouth unpleasing to God? How often are the words of your mouth unpleasing to God? Would Jesus speak about someone the same way you are speaking about them? Huh. Right? But yet, when our heart is cooling, or even maybe it's cold in the area of what we do with our tongue. There's a bitterness, there's a coldness, like, I don't care. That is how I feel, and I'm going to say how I feel. That's my truth. What's filtering your language? In the book of Ezekiel is a prophet to the nation of Israel, and he is frustrated with the nation. They are in complete disobedience to the living God. And he is frustrated. He kind of wants to go out and let them have it. And God tells him, like, I want you to be silent. You need to be quiet. And in his, like, desire to just rip the nation of Israel a new one, but wanting to be obedient to what God is saying, be quiet right now, be quiet. He's like, put a guard over my mouth, Lord. Put a guard over my mouth. And I want to tell you, there's been times in my life that I have said, like, out loud in my living room or in my car, oh, God, put a guard over my mouth. If I'm too far away from the source of heat, I'm not going to have the discipline to ask for the guard. Right? So don't be afraid to ask God to guard your mouth. But you got to be close enough for him to actually do it. Okay? And the last thing, an indication of our heart is this. Our relationships mirror the world instead of the kingdom. And we're talking about, like, just our basic friendships and even romantic relationships. What's our standards? What's your standards in friendships or in romantic relationships? What's allowed? What's not allowed? If your standards in relationships mimic those standards of the world rather than the standards in God's word, don't be surprised when those relationships crumble. Or they end in ways, or they result in ways that cause us brokenness and pain. I want to leave you with this one thing. A cooling heart breeds compromise. A cooling heart breeds compromise. Are there areas in your life where compromise has been able to come in? I'm going to invite everyone just to bow your heads with me right now. And there might be some in this room today that you recognize, like, your heart is completely cold because you've never had that, taken that first step to say yes to Jesus and to step into the light of his love and the heat of his healing. And that's the first step today, is to surrender and say yes to Jesus. If you want to do that today, I just want you to raise your hand right now. One. Come on. We're just going to pray together. Jesus, I need you. I invite you to come into my life and to start telling me the things that need to change in order to walk close to you. I receive your forgiveness. I invite your healing in Jesus' name. Before you leave today, please go see Jeremy or Angie back in the back by the next steps. Maybe you're sitting in here today one of the things that we've talked about, you recognize, like, Holy Spirit saying, hey, pay attention to this area. There's some coolness here. You're not You're not close to me. You're not close enough to me in this area. I need to warm it up. God talked to me about some stuff this week too. Okay? I just want to invite you, if that's you today, I just invite you to stand. God, I need you. I need to be warmed up. I'm going to invite everyone just to stand as we close, actually. And I just want you to reach your hands out in a receiving area, a receiving motion. Father, I pray for each and every person here today. Thank you for just giving us this little shake, like, hey, it's important. Stay close to me. Stay warm. Stay pliable. Stay teachable. And so, Father, in every area that someone was challenged today, will you teach them? Will you show them? Will you just guide them to the next step? What does it look like to get closer to you? What does it look like to be more disciplined in this area of spending time with you, of spending time with each other, of talking in ways that bring you glory, of building relationships that point people to Jesus? Father, teach us, mold us into who you want us to be. Make us ready for your return. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to Hope City Church. If this message encouraged you, share it with a friend and help spread the hope. If you'd like to support what God is doing through Hope City, you can give anytime at myhopecity.church/give. Your generosity helps us reach more people with the message of Jesus. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss a week. We can't wait to connect with you again. And remember, no matter what you're facing, there is hope in Jesus. We hope you have an amazing week.